When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, wow.
You came in hot.
You came in hotter. Okay. We have an incredible guest. We have the wonderful, the amazing, the extremely talented Drew Drogi, someone that I have been watching for years.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was
gosh,
so
totally.
Excited to get to talk to them again.
And, you know, we just did a lot of good chit-chats.
It was a chit-chatty episode, but it was fun. And we learned a lot about Drew. More
we
about
We talked
Drew.
About Halloween. We talked about Hollywood. We talked about acting projects. And then we listened to a bunch of fun voicemails and get Drew's perspective on how people fuck and why it's bad to throw away your mattress. Or how it's challenging to throw away your mattress.
How are you getting that it must have been a twin.
Anyway, stay tuned to figure out what the hell we're talking about.
Goodbye, you little cum dumps.
Forever Dog.
When your first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us.
Our number is 213-536-9180. Our email is sloppysecondspot@gmail.com. Now on with the show.
Oof. Ooh, no, no. That one hurt. That actually, I heard something pop. I feel like maybe I'm Adele. Are you ready for some Sloppy Seconds? I'm Big Dipper. That's Meatball. Welcome back to Sloppy Seconds with Big Dipper and Meatball.
That was so chaotic.
Wait a minute. That hurt.
You felt the pressure from Adele releasing her new song, and you were like, I've got to try it.
No,
and
remember
then all of a
she
sudden
was on stage, and she like had a vocal cord pop or whatever? And then
no.
She had, yeah, a long time ago. And then she had surgery, and she was worried she was never going to sing again.
Well, maybe our guest knows about that.
Yeah.
Maybe we can ask our guest about that.
Maybe we'll
that.
Ask our guest.
Maybe our guest is an Adele historian, or I'm just really putting
a
lot
like
of
maybe you're just making this up. I have
world.
No idea.
Right, well, who knows? Yeah.
Check all right, our guest is an incredible actor, writer, voice actor, a comedian, and a queer icon. It's Drew Drogi.
Hi, kids. How's it going?
Hi.
I don't know this about Adele, but I mean, I adore her.
And
I
you
really
call yourself
her.
Gay.
I know. I'm the worst. I really need to go into a deep dive of Adele's vocal cords in order
yes.
to be a proud member of the LGBTQIA plus community.
Yeah,
you gotta
we're
know
take
those
your card away.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder where that started, that phrase, take your gay card away. I wonder what that, I don't know.
Yeah, because to take it away, someone had to give it to you. First.
Right, exactly. It had to be handed to you at some point. And then who gives it to you? And then at what point is it taken away? And then there are things you're like,
and
I don't
is
know.
Is it laminated? I have a sticker on the back of mine. But I think that was just because my mentor was feeling fresh that day and put a little star sticker
on there. I want a new picture on mine.
Oh, my God.
I look awful.
Well, yeah, you got yours when you were, what, 9? So, of course you look awful.
So young.
Drew, how are you? We just said before we started recording, we haven't. I haven't seen you in truly years.
It has been years, which is, yeah.
I
which is wild.
I saw you recently at the Grindr event that you were hosting. We did a Grindr event forever ago. It wasn't for Pride, was it? What was that for?
It was for Pride. It was for Pride at Akbar. It was in June.
Oh, yes. It was Pride Month, but it was still, everything was still kind of closed, half open. We didn't know the rules.
It was in that weird window where like, we're back. And then we were just like hanging out without masks on for the, you know, those couple weeks in June, July, when we thought we could do that until Delta came back with a raging hard-on for us. So... You know, gosh, those were the days.
I know. Did you flourish? And we're not going to do a lot of pandemic talk, but I
no,
just haven't seen you
it.
So long. I'm just curious.
That's
did
all
you,
I want to talk about.
Did
I don't
you? I'm just curious if you flourished in the sort of isolation.
Isolation.
Thank
but
you.
I like isolation.
Come on, isolation.
Did you like, was that fine for you to be like alone and like working and like
it
just
was,
sort of being?
It was on a very selfish level, kind of great for a while for me. Like I really enjoy, I mean, like I was living in pure terror with
sure.
COVID and Trump and all that. And you know, are we all gonna, you know, leave this earth and, you know, miserable and alone. But I also just got a lot of sleeping and movie watching done. And yeah. I didn't really create much at all. I mean, you know, I was not creative in this time, but I was kind of unapologetic about it. I was like, I wasn't inspired and I wasn't putting pressure on myself. And I also wasn't, you know, it's like, as you both know, when you go out in LA and it's great, but sometimes it's so overwhelming where every time you run into people and they're like, what are you working on? What are you doing? What's your
thing? And it was really nice. And it's like, bitch, I'm sleeping, finally.
Exactly. I'm staying alive. Yeah. I'm staying alive and I'm just doing what I want to do. And if I want to make a cocktail at 5 p.m. or I want to, you know, watch Lawrence of Arabia today because I've never seen it and always claim to have seen it. That's what I'm going to do today. And that's going to be called, that's my education, that's my day, that's my life. And
right.
No apologies. So then, you know, for me personally, like it was like 2021 was weirdly harder because it was like, we're back, we're not back, we're working, mm-hmm. we're not working. Right. It's felt very, you know, it's getting better, but it's been frustrating on that level. Like last year was terrifying. And this year feels more stupid, you know. We're just kind of going like, let's just, what are we doing? And we're done with this. It's just annoying.
Well, I don't know the rules. Everything's confusing. You're asking me to do a lot of stuff at home that like I can't do, like or that I don't know how to do. It's so confusing.
And I need to be around people in order to do what I do. I mean, in order for me to write, I have to be around people and listen to people and listen to how. I mean, so much of what I write and create is gay people. I need to be around other gay people than me to listen to how they talk and what are we talking about? And
what's the news? Improvising in the mirror with a tape recorder, like trying to be like, how does she talk?
My wigs and I have a whole show with just me and my
wigs. I'm sure. I can only imagine the shows you did in the bathroom to you, yourself, and you. But this is interesting. There's a big conversation obviously happening in LA, but I think in a lot of places about like working conditions, obviously, you know, the IATSE strike and you know, we in this modern day, I had a very busy weekend. I was running around, I shot a music video, and as we were driving home, I was with my friend and we like ordered food on my phone to like be delivered to my apartment, and it sort of like landed at the same time that we did, and we were like perfect. And I was like, what did people do 5 years ago? And I was like, relaxed and cooked a meal and didn't book themselves from moment to moment and work 16-hour days. And like we've just gotten to this point where if we're not doing something constantly all day long, we feel like we're lazy. Like the concept,
yes.
The concept of laziness is like fake, right?
I know.
Oh, absolutely.
Also, I think we give ourselves points for being busy. It's like when you run out, like, I'm so busy. I've got so much going on. And that means like, oh, you're
Oh, you're so important.
I'm
fucking important.
But I'm guilty of it too. I'm like, I hear myself doing it and I'm like, why is that? You know, I don't know. Cause I mean, I genuinely like being busy. It's a thing for me. I love what I get to do and I like to do it a lot. And then I like to be social but I also love, like yesterday I had a day on my couch and I'm getting caught up on Succession and I've never been more happy. And I'm like,
yes,
take those days, take that time and don't feel guilty about it. Don't feel like you have to constantly be like putting things out there because it's just sort of like, you know, we have one life and we need to be sleeping and relaxing and enjoying moments, not just wolfing down meals to run to the next thing.
Well, and that's the thing, all of those apps and services that make it possible for you to stream whatever you want, order whatever you want, whatever. Those are services that are sort of like built to like help you be more relaxed and like listen to a meditation on your phone or whatever. But because we can do all of that, we're like, I'll do the meditation while I'm driving and I'll order the food while I'm working. Completely. And then I'll do, if you're like, no, that's actually.
And I'll order the food and then I'll watch the little cartoon car on its way to deliver to me. And I'm like constantly checking in. Where's my food? Where's my food? And you're like, calm down, bitch. They got to cook it.
They have to make it.
Sometimes they have to drop up someone else's food because it's dinner time for someone else.
You know what? Postmates just added. Yeah, but that person can fuck themselves. No, Postmates just added an option where you can pay like an extra $1.25 and they're like, your meal is priority. It'll be dropped off sooner.
Oh.
And so I'm always clicking that because I don't have an hour and a half to wait.
I have $1.25.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I think I have definitely, there are some collaborators that I'm working on different projects. I haven't quite learned this lesson from the pandemic, but some of the people I'm working with have learned that lesson of they're coming back into projects and they're really setting a boundary. They're really going like, hey, just so you know, I don't work on Sundays anymore. So even though that's your day to like catch up on your outside don't email me. I'll get to you back on Monday. And I sometimes I find that frustrating on the receiving end, but I always go, I respect it. I wish I could do it.
Yeah, people have boundaries, Dipper. People know how to say no.
Yeah, I'm trying. At 44 years old, I'm trying to learn how to say.
You better work.
You know, because it's tricky because I think a lot of us too, as independent contractors, we're like, we got to take work whenever it comes.
Yeah.
And there's those times and you know, all three of us know this, when you're like, there are going to be days you're going to just have 3 gigs and you're going to have to make it work.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to go 2 weeks without a job. And so those three, that one Sunday that you're working, you know, for 16 hours or whatever is, you know, got to stretch out for some time.
She's the day.
But that's it.
There are also times you have to learn to just say, you know what, I'm going to say no, or I'm going to say yes with boundaries.
And I think that
has to be, you know, understood now, because you know there was the work day. You would never think to call someone back in the days of landlines.
Oof.
You would never think to call someone, you know, at 8 o'clock at night with a work related thing. But
correct.
Now emails come in at midnight. They'll come in all the time, and you're like, I got to answer this right away. And I try to tell myself that too. Like at night, I'm like, just save the message, get to it tomorrow. It's nighttime.
Yeah,
right.
You know, and it's fine. You know, you'll get to it when you get to it.
And you're busy watching Lawrence of Arabia.
Thank you.
What happens in that movie?
Yeah, what is that movie about?
Okay, so it's 4 hours long. So, and the first it's actually wonderful, and it made me cry, and it's a classic for a good reason. I mean, I watched it on my laptop. I'm like, I would like to see it in a theater because it's a stunning movie, but you know. It's something I never would take the time to watch if we weren't in a pandemic.
Absolutely.
It is 4 hours. You know.
You know what else is 4 hours? The first episode of Dragula. Now, I want to know, are you into like scary movies? Are you into ooky spooky stuff?
Because
it's Halloween times.
Yes. I love scary movies.
Did you go see the new Halloween?
I did. And did y'all see it?
No.
I saw it.
Okay. I had a blast. I thought it was so much fun. It was so insane. I mean,
somewhere along the way, I think I lost the plot because I didn't.
Oh, completely.
So
confused. Oh, no. That's what I'm saying. There's nothing makes sense,
but it's great. It was so fun.
There's no, other than the very first Halloween,
there's
no really good Halloween movie. And I love them all. Like, I love the story. There's no, I mean, if you try to follow, talk about explaining. It's easier to explain Lawrence of Arabia than it is to explain Michael Myers through those 12 movies, because it's like they reinvent the mythology every single movie.
He gets new magical powers, then they take him away, then he's great again. He can live in space. It's wild.
He's a superhero now.
Yeah.
Like they literally say that in the new movie.
He can basically fly.
He's more than human now. Like he's beyond. He's got some other, which you're like, oh, good to know on movie 12.
Jamie Lee Curtis in the new one?
Yeah.
She is. She's in a hospital bed the entire time. So she's not.
She said, I'll give you 3 days of shooting. Oh,
that's the dream. Can't you wait to be at the Jamie Lee level where you're just like, I'll take my, you know, $5 million. I'll sit in a bed with my Benjamin Franklin wig and I'll roll around a little bit. And then thank you. And she deserves it. My God, she built the franchise. I mean, you know.
Yeah, she absolutely didn't create it. But she left the franchise for a little bit and then came back, right? She was very much like, I'm not going to do this.
She's and left then, and come back, you know, a lot. And she was very open with this new trilogy that she was like, it's great money. But they had to set up for the final, the one that comes out next year. So it's a lot of, it's definitely the movie in the middle. So it's just focused on the kills. Here's a hot take. And I know a lot of people have their issues with what happened in it because there's a gay couple in the movie that, you know, that that a lot of people were like, are having issues with. Cause it's like, you know, first of all, it's Mike McDonald, the genius of Mike McDonald.
Oh my God.
And another actor named Scott MacArthur, and he was like, I thought it was my friend Hayes MacArthur, but then I was like, I guess he has a brother because they must be the same. So anyway,
that's crazy.
Yeah, because I was like, that's Hayes.
They must be the same.
And I looked it up, and I was like,
they must be gay.
They I guess people have brothers.
That's
like
weird.
Me. But anyway, so I loved the inclusion of a stupid, bickering, trashy gay couple. I love that.
It felt real.
Who does it?
I knew and, them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And of course a gay couple would buy Michael Myers' house and gentrify it. That felt so funny to me that, like, you know, who would buy Michael Myers' house? Oh, this bougie gay couple that's going to paint the walls all like midnight blue and it's going to have Anne Murray records. And it's, I mean, like, I loved that because, you know, I love that it showed, like, here's what a neighborhood looks like in 2021. And the gay people are just as bumbling and idiotic as the straight people are. And I thought that was, I enjoyed that inclusion. I was not offended by that at all. I was like, it's a Michael Myers movie.
Yeah, a lot of people were upset by that, but it also reminded me of how people got so upset about the gay couple in It, where they were, but I think it's a little different because that couple got gay bashed right off the bat.
Yes.
Which I was kind of like, that was weird. Kind of let him live.
Yes, and it had nothing. It was just so.
It was literally just to be like, "Hey, watch us kill some fags."
And so I thought that was that was problematic to me. I was like, I don't want to see. And also, it is so gritty, and even though, yes, I know it's about a clown that, you know, haunts your dreams and
lives in a sewer. Whatever. Sounds like me.
But still, there's something about it that does feel more gritty and real on some level, or like genuinely. Whereas Halloween is like Michael Myers.
It's so a kid. Like, it's a little boy.
Yes. And I guess maybe because I've loved it since I was, you know, a child and I've, you know, lived with these movies all my life. So it's like, I sort of am like, it feels more like a ride. It's like a theme park ride.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, you
know. I have never seen any of the films in the entire franchise. How about that?
Oh, do you just not like scary? Oh, and on that, we're going to take a break on that. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long.
When my fridge is stocked with Factor meals, I'm like, oh, baby, I don't have to think about this. Mm-hmm. Like, it is so nice. The combinations are so good. I am a meat eater, but the vegetable options, there are so many. Like, I remember I had a mushroom with pasta and like a cauliflower rice. And I was like, the mushroom is filling. Like, there's plenty of portion, there's plenty of vegetable, and there's plenty of flavor. And I am usually sort of not a microwave person.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool that this quality of food can just be heated up in the microwave.
And so fast. I also love it because I am a very much into ordering delivery.
I know.
Now having all the food there, I can kind of pick what I want and it's ready in 2 minutes. I don't have to wait an hour for stuff to get delivered. And these are way healthier options than ordering delivery.
Completely. And when they have multiple things in them, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, if I cook for myself, all I'm going to eat is the biggest bowl of pasta you've ever seen in your life. But this is you get a little pasta and the chicken and a vegetable all in one dish.
Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
And Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. All you gotta do is heat up and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause to reschedule deliveries that suit your lifestyle.
And we're celebrating Earth Day all month long with Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu items for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/sloppyseconds50 and use code sloppyseconds50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box.
That's code SLOPPYSECONDS50 at factormeals.com/SLOPPYSECONDS50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
That's a slay, baby. And we're back.
She's the the note is so high, we can't even hear it.
We couldn't even hear it. It just
hit those dog tones. I was giving Ariante Grande.
That's right.
I was hitting the whistle tones.
Ariante Grande.
I've said it before on this podcast. I don't do well with scary movies. It makes me, I do get the shiver me timbers. I do come home and look, you know, in the closet where there's no possible way a human could fit. But I'm like, no one better be in here. Like, I really do get freaked out. So for me, Halloween is about the fun costumes and, of course, the candy.
I love candy.
Sure. I love all that, too. I love Halloween. I mean, I think it's just, it was my favorite holiday as a child. And, you know, obviously, we made it our lives. So it's like, you know.
Right.
Yeah, we did make it our lives. We get dressed up all the time.
I do love a little dress up.
I was trying to explain to someone. They were like, Halloween's coming up. Aren't you so excited? You get to, like, dress up and da-da-da. And I was like, Mama, I dress up three times a week.
Exactly.
It's literally I don't want to on Halloween.
We made Halloween our life, so now it's work. It's going to the office.
Right.
So it's just a thing. It's like, I have a thing. I'm like, unless there's an audience or a paycheck, I'm not getting in a costume. Like, make me walk around a party in a costume. I've done it.
Yes.
So much.
You've done it when no one else is in a costume.
Exactly.
You've lived that fantasy.
And so I think it's something that, like, I enjoy watching other people. Like, it is tricky for me at Halloween parties because I'd rather just be in the corner, like a fly on the wall, and see other people having fun. I love seeing people in their costumes. I never come up with a Halloween costume idea because it's always like, I'm always putting on costumes for other things. And so, and Halloween's different. It's not like you're doing drag and you're going, here's my persona, here's my character, or the character that I'm playing. It's like, it's like a concept. And so you have to go up to people and go, I'm a broken cell phone or whatever. And you know what I mean? It's a thing. It's an idea. And so people go, oh my God, how clever, you know, or whatever. Or I'm this character from this TV show or whatever. So
You're not trying to entertain the room. So living in that costume.
My favorite costumes are always when people do like a turn of phrase, like a needle in a haystack or like.
I never think like that. And so I'm always blown away when people do because that's not how my brain works. And so I'm like, wow, that's brilliant. And you just keep discovering new little nuances in their costume, their look, and they've spent all year working on it.
Right.
I love seeing that. I will never be that person. I'm too lazy and tired to do that, but I love that people.
Yeah.
They're always like old Southern ladies sitting on a porch drinking lemonade phrases. Like a pig and shit. And that's your costume. You know, it's like always like a,
imagine if someone walked up at a party as a pig and shit. I'm sure they've done it.
I was at that party last week. It's a whole fetish thing.
Oh, gross.
All right.
I don't like that.
When you were growing up, what was your trick-or-treating method? Were you, like, really into that, or was it more about the costumes growing up?
I was way into my costume as a child because it was my time to dress up. And I remember when I was three or four. I mean, I was very young, and I was obsessed with Kiss. I didn't know their music. I didn't know anything, but I saw them on TV and I loved that look. I loved the tongue and the it was drag in a way. I loved it so, and I loved monsters. So there's a picture of me when I am 3 or 4 years old, dressed as Gene Simmons from Kiss.
Oh my God.
And everyone else, all
three
my other
or
friends
four?
Are like,
that's
yes,
young.
I was so young. And all my other friends, everybody else was like a ghost or like a skeleton or like, I'm a cute little pumpkin. And I was full on with the tongue and I was in it. And then I was always villains. I love to play the villains and still in my life. What I do is in my career. But like, I did. Ming from Flash Gordon. I was Ming 1 year because that was 1980. It was the hottest movie. So that was, I was also young when I did that. What else did I do? I was obsessed with Freddy Krueger, but I don't think I ever did Freddy, but like that was always in the world. That was always like, what monster can I do?
And was it like you would make them at home, like family made, homemade crafting, or like buy them?
My mom would make them. My mom would do them. And I had a real push pull because also I had that thing where I wanted the store bought costumes. Like that was like, you know, and I was,
that
like,
was luxury.
Like, I'm going to make it. And my mom is amazing. My mom's a designer and she could sew and like, she would make these amazing costumes. And when I did community theater in high school, my mom was always doing like sets and costumes and stuff for that. And so my mom was really great at that. And I didn't appreciate it as a child because I was like, I want the store-bought thing. But what they had at the store was never what I wanted. And then they didn't have Gene Simmons, you know,
Well,
so
that's...
I had to do, you know.
Yeah, that's always the thing. It's like if your parent is like a chef making you like amazing food, like fresh, beautiful salads, but you're 7 years old, you're like, I only want to eat McDonald's and Oreo cookies, please.
Exactly.
And chicken nuggies.
Yes.
And you're like,
Children are truly the worst. Superman costume
from Walgreens that's made out of cheesecloth and disintegrates the moment it gets
I wish my mom would have made me costumes. I was always in the store-bought costume, and some years it would be like, it would be the same. I would just get into my brother's costume from the year before. It would be like a hand-me-down. Yeah. Well, he's like 7 months older, so we were pretty much the same size and same everything. So he would just be like, all right, now this year you're the blue Power Ranger. And last year he was the blue Power Ranger. But it'll work. You'll be fine. You'll love it. And I was always like, I want to be the pink Power Ranger.
Of course. Said,
I never got the good one.
She said, I saw you
not in my house, you tiny little faggot.
Okay. I remember pig and shit parties. Problematic. I went as often when I would, because I never had any foresight. I never was like dreaming of a costume. So then it was like, yeah, 1 year I did Dracula, you know, like whatever, or vampire. Mm. But I did many, many years as a hobo because I would just put on my dad's clothes, tie a bandana on a stick, and like black out one tooth. You know, that's a costume you can sort of come up with.
Yeah, you could get that done in one day.
Right. Right. And like just by raiding, you know, your father's closet. So I did that a lot. But the thing for me, the focus was the trick-or-treating and was the candy. I remember coming back home and me and my sister would lay out all of our candy on the dining room table and organize it by things. And then we would trade and we would, you know, like if she liked more Tootsie Rolls versus, you know, like we would just trade. No one ever wanted the little tiny roll of Necco wafers. Like no one wanted. Like, why are people doing that?
Horrifying.
Those were gross.
They were like zinc tablets. It's like, why do you want that?
And we did have, I did have some like older neighbors in the neighborhood who were handing out apples and homemade peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And that was also really at the time when it was like razor blades and drugs, like check to make sure that like your kids aren't getting like drugged and cut up with their candy. So we would
never happened. Did you know that? Like that was that never happened. It was just 80s propaganda. I blame Nancy Reagan. I blame the monster that was Nancy Reagan.
I didn't know that that never
happened. Yeah, it was all 80s. It was all paranoia that they were like, the razor blade.
Because the 80s was when Stranger Danger was that like full effect.
Yes.
See?
So those sweet people were genuinely making you peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, which is gross, and I don't want them either. But there was, I mean, I guarantee you they were not razor blades in there.
Right.
Also, think about the logic. I mean, again, I know there are the horribly sick people out there in the world, but the logic of like like some sort of witch, some literal witch giggling over a cauldron, putting things in and being like, they'll be hurting out there somewhere. Like, they don't even get to like experience.
Yeah, they don't get the joy of seeing it happen.
Yeah, they gotta see the child
from
suffer.
My understanding, these sick people like to watch it happen. Yeah. That's kind of part of it.
And if I know anything about torture.
Oh my God. Yeah, like that was really a thing. And growing
up. But in your neighborhood, did you have the people that just put the bowl out and it would say, like, take one? We went out super early one night and our neighbor had that bowl out. And so either they put it out empty and were just pretending like they put candy out.
Love that.
Or someone literally came along the minute they put it out and emptied it out. But like, I have always. I always thought that that was them just like being like, we're not going to buy candy and we don't want you ringing our doorbell. So let's just pretend like
it's
we did.
It's a scam.
It's a scam.
But I think that propaganda really has influenced it because now trick or treating is like, you drive to a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
They do it like tailgating. You like drive to a parking lot or to a park and people open their trunks and it's daylight, like on a Saturday or something like that, or a Sunday, or early in the evening after school. And they like walk around from trunk because they like don't go see your neighbor. Don't meet people in the neighborhood. Don't like, I feel like there's very little actual trick or treating happening anymore.
And sad to me.
It sucks that the lesson that we've learned from trick-or-treating is to be scared of our neighbors and to not engage in the neighborhood.
Right.
So,
yes, because it just creates more fear, more division. more. It just it does the opposite of what, like, we got to protect ourselves and protect what's ours. And it's why we're in the problem that we're in right now. Like, get to know your neighbors. And that's one thing I will say was good about pandemic is I did get to know my neighbors a lot.
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't know. Because in LA, you don't really get to know your neighbors.
Right. Yes. And the same, when I was living in New York, I lived in New York in the East Village, and I lived in the same building for like 6 years, and I never once spoke to the people that lived right next door to me. If I saw them in the hallway, I'd be like, close my door. Like, right, I'll wait for you to leave the building, and then I will leave the building.
Oh my God.
That is so funny. But we all, why do we have that in us? I don't know.
I don't know, but now I'm like great friends with the people in my neighborhood. Like down the street from me, like I'll let them come over and watch the cats when I'm gone. Like it's wonderful.
I think there's this fear of like rejection or I don't know, but it's also like, it's on just on a basic survival level, it's really smart. Like if something fucked up is happening in your building or in the neighborhood, you can call the person. And calling a person you've never talked to in 6 years, it's hard. It's like going, right. Hi, I'm Drew. I live next door.
Yeah.
We pass each other. I've waited for you to leave. I mean, all that.
I've done that too. I've hidden from you on many occasions.
And I think a lot of it is just a thing of like, I don't want to get, it's like, I'm just going to take care of me and mine and what I need to do. And I don't really know. And I don't know. It's very strange. I think too, like, you do have to have boundaries. I mean, some people you're like, you know, just because we live next, you know, and we're in the same building or the same neighborhood, we don't have to be best friends. We don't have to talk every time we see each other. But like, you know, say hi. Just, you know, just it can be, you know.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing. I moved into a new place recently. I'm in the place right now. I think when I have my windows open on a nice day, everyone can hear everything.
Oh, yeah.
And all we do is record this podcast from home. And I just say filthy, disgusting things about my sex life that I'm happy to put out in a public way on the internet.
Of course, but
somehow,
but that's
I think
for people
of the person,
who want to hear it. Yes, those people are seeking out what you're saying.
12 feet from my apartment outside this window, as I'm like, and then I'm punching his puckered butthole, and they're like, that person up in that apartment is insane. And so part of me is like, keep my head down, just walk to the car.
Well, they're just jealous.
Well, I didn't know. So during the pandemic, I was doing all these digital drag shows from home, and my drag room is faces out, but like there's a huge, there's trees. So I didn't think anyone could see in, but I was out doing something on the street and someone walked by and I was like in half drag and they're like, oh, another meatball production. We like watching through the window. And I was like, no. And she was like, we love the wallpaper you put up. I was like, no. So now windows always closed.
Yeah.
Just quiet because I don't need them hearing or seeing.
Well, you kind of want that on your terms. So you don't have a little bit of control in that way. You want to be like, I will allow this when it's fully done and and people are either logging on, buying a ticket, whatever, then it's open for business.
But watching how it's made is no good. It's a lot of me just being like, this is terrible, I wanna leave.
Right. And it is it's a very vulnerable feeling of like someone's been watching me and I don't know.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, very rear window.
And why I have no interest in being like really famous. Like that just would be horrible for that.
Oh my God.
Truly, I just seems like
people cry.
Let's take a quick break and we will be right back.
Bye.
And we're back. Ooh, see, I don't know, something's wrong with my voice.
I went out and then in and then out again.
Ooh, just how I like it.
Kind of like you punching a puckered butthole.
Thank you. Thank you for the callback. Speaking of comedy callback and genius, I know we said we don't want to talk about what are you working on, but let's talk a little bit about you being hilarious and funny and great and involved in so many iconic pieces of entertainment.
We wanted to talk about all of your projects that you've been working on and been a part of. Because your voice pops up on almost every show that I watch.
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
We had actually Simon Chong, who is a director on Bob's Burgers, we had on the podcast a while ago. And you pop up all over Bob's Burgers, which is such a fun treat.
The most fun show to work on. And they're the nicest people. And they're so great to always throw me these ridiculous, I always play terrible characters. I'm always like, oh, men, women.
Horrible people.
They're monster people that just totally fuck with them, and it's so much fun. And usually in the retail space, as well, there was like a theater. I was like a theater.
The theater director one is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was so much fun to do that one. That was a blast.
Did you feel like you had known that director from doing community theater in high school?
That was like my dream. I would be happy playing a version of that character for the rest of my life. Like self-important community theater directors. I've been that person. I've known that person so many times, but I love that. Really, like, just the king of the tiniest kingdom.
Right.
You know, just, like, someone who's just, like, and everything's just so, the stakes couldn't be higher. Because Brigadoon opens tonight, and we've lost our bagpipe player, or whatever. I love those kind of characters. And they're just, and they always have horrible internal lives. Everything is falling apart. They always have rehearsal. And that's kind of not unlike me. Like, there are times that I'm like, Drew, clean your kitchen. You don't have... You know, but I'm like, I can't. I'm busy. I've got, you know, wigs to comb. I'll do that more than like take care
of
like
comb
kind of
your
basic
wigs.
Things.
Don't yeah. lie oh, to I've had us.
To, I've had the to same learn way. To be an adult in a way that I've had to really kind of go, all right, take care of your life, because that's the part of those characters that I fully connect with, that I love.
And do you find it like surprising? Because I assume you record the vocals like far in advance, so like. When they come out, you're like, oh shit, yeah, I remember we did that. How fun!
Oh wait, yes. Sometimes, I just did their new show called The Great North.
Yes.
Oh, I love that show.
I'm gonna be on that. I think November. And that was one where we did the table read a year ago, and I thought it just went away. Like I thought they just wrote the part out, or they just didn't. And I didn't hear from them all during. And of course, I built up this whole idea like, oh, they're mad at me or they don't like me anymore.
I love that mental game.
Isn't that fun? Isn't that healthy?
Yeah, the spiral that you set yourself on, and then everyone's like, no, it's great. We just needed time.
They also weren't thinking about me. Yeah. So figure, you know what I mean? They were busy. They had other things going on. But
animating a full show. My,
exactly. The narcissist over here is going, oh, I must no longer be in their favor, whatever. But they came back like a year later and said, so that one, I got to watch my animated. I got to try to match my animated character, which was
really,
because it was already animated before. But usually, it's way in advance, and you don't know even who else is on the show until you.
Oh,
watch
that's
it and
so
you go, oh,
funny!
Wow, you know, so
yeah, he was telling us that they like animate those, or they record the voices, and then like they animate it for about a year, and then it comes out like
a
year later
or something. Like
yeah.
That.
Oh yeah, nine months.
It can happen that way, and then. They're actors who, you know, you just record your lines and they somehow make it sound like you're having a conversation. But, and sometimes they'll have them remote and sometimes they're in the studio. Like on Bob's, like, it's usually like half the cast is in LA and half are in New York. And so you're doing the episode and some of the actors are there in the studio and the others are just like, you're hearing on a speaker in New York. But then I've done some, especially during the pandemic, where I didn't even see the person. I just did all my lines and then they did theirs and then they put it together.
Wow.
So, wow.
That's really wild. Yeah. We just did something like that for the podcast. We did like a little radio play and a lot of the parts had to be recorded completely separately. And it's like building these pieces of the car. And it's like, take the word was from their second take and replace it because it actually makes the rhythm sound better.
Wow.
And the inflection.
I know.
And it's like,
I know.
It's that's
Poor
a lot
Will.
Of work. It's like much
Poor
easier
Will.
When just two people are in the room together.
Well, talking. Because they're right. Because they're listening and responding naturally versus like, I'm going to stab at, and then they're also, they do another thing too, where they have you say a lot of different, just takes on the same words, like
yes.
for that reason. So they'll kind of do it now, surprise, now terrified, now horny or whatever. And then you can
ooh,
kind of,
H word.
Oh yeah, sure.
Not horny, and, baby.
Oh, sure.
Oh, sure. Oh, horny.
Cigarette appears.
I played lots of horny characters. Yeah, bullshit.
You're like retail space and horn balls. That's what
that's I'm where I live.
Happy to do it. I love Radio Shack and I love fucking,
wait, I want to talk a little bit about Search Party because I just love, because obviously Sam Pancake and you, you know, have been friends for a long time. You do a lot of different projects together. And that just felt like such, like, to me watching that, the two of you sort of pop in as those wedding planners, it felt like an internal, like not only like a queer nod, but an industry nod, just sort of like, not only was it just a great moment on the show, but it also kind of felt like an inside joke for the people who know to just like have the two of you together do that.
It was a dream to get to do that. First of all, I was such a fan of the show before, like in the first two seasons on TBS and and Charles and SV, the creators and showrunners of that show, are friends. But I was always just like, yeah. They did a movie called Fort Tilden before that I was obsessed with, and so I was always I would get around them and be like, "You're geniuses! Like, what are you doing?" And this was their show. But it was I genuinely never thought I would be a part of it. Like, it's one of those things that, like, you know, they're the shows you watch and you go, "Oh gosh, I really love to be on that show."
Yeah.
But the first couple seasons were so they were way more like small indie, like gritty,
right,
New York, which I love, but I'm so flattered when I ever get to be in that sort of space, but I usually get cast in the bigger, broader, campier things.
Yeah.
So when they reached out and said, "We have this idea for you and Sam," and we were like, "Oh my God, we are so excited." And they kept telling me, like, "Go bigger," like, because I was so like, "I want to play this really," and they were like, "Look at you. You're in old, you're in man
pounds
drag.
Of makeup. Pounds of
and
makeup.
The hair." Like, we were in hair for like an hour and they were ironing out my hair and doing this, you know, for just, you know, and so you know, and Sam and I also we're obviously really good friends and we've worked together a lot, but we also we're good together in like just finishing each other's thoughts of playing the worst gay people. It's a lot of times we get together. We always laugh. I used to say we get together like every couple months and have a cunt lunch, or as we call it, a cunch, where we just scream at each other. We scream for an hour. I mean, God apologized to everyone that has to sit near us because we just are like, this person did this, and then this, you know, and it's all about like people, like, and we're really not like, I don't see it as like gossiping. We're not making up things. We're not saying, "I don't like so-and-so for this reason." It's usually some weird business situation or like somebody had done that.
That's just me and Dipper every day, I guess.
I was that's what we do on this podcast.
Yes, exactly. And you're kind of like, "I can't believe that so-and-so asked me to do this thing and drive out to so-and-so and not pay me." And you get there and you're waiting in the sun and then they treat you and they're rude to you and then they cut all your lines or whatever. It's usually
But then you're like, "But I'm happy for the work."
But exactly.
And you're like, "And I'll do it, like, but I have to."
But I'm on the road tomorrow to do it again.
But it feels good to get that out, because if you hold that in and don't express it to anybody, it's just going to come out later.
Amen. And that's exactly what we're doing. It's like a thing where we have, it's very therapeutic. And so when I think when we're cast together as these people, we get to sort of embody that and play those people and get to sort of exercise that demon and say, "Yes, these are awful, like, rich," because like we were an ex couple. There was a lot of stuff in the show that did get like cut in different drafts, but we were Republicans also.
Oh no,
the thing. But it was like that we were these like, and we used to be a couple, but we're not together anymore. But we still dress identically, like we wore matching suits all the time. It was just so bananas. But
what I love about that show is I do feel like it has in every season remained true to itself and true to its mission, but it has also taken so many twists and turns and featured so many different people. But at the end of the day, like, you can watch episode one and you can watch the last episode of the most recent season, which I think was four, right? And you can go like, this is still the same show. It has just evolved over time. And that I think is really cool because, yes, season one being on TBS, being more of this sort of like, we're just going to follow this one person who's like obsessed with this one thing. And then the world just expanded so hugely and it's still very real, but also so broad. I'm such a fan of that.
I completely agree with you. And I think it's also the thing about like when you give someone their first TV show, the parameters are a lot tighter and then they trust them more and more.
Right.
To just go more gonzo. And every year it's almost like, you know, when an artist like, you know, and I don't know what she's done in the last, you know, 15 years, but pre 15 years ago, Madonna, was always still Madonna and reinventing herself, but you was like, but it still feels like Madonna, you know, in that way. And so this, and I've heard about what happens on season 5. It is so bananas. It's so wild.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I'm not on season five, but I mean, like, the guest cast, the storylines, it's crazy. But every season they kind of blow it up and they think this will be it. Because I was at the wrap party for season four and they were all like crying and saying this was so much fun to get to be a part of this, but they thought it was done. They thought it was over.
Oh, wow.
And then it was on HBO Max and it was a huge thing. And so then they were like, let's do more. So they genuinely thought that season four would be it.
Whoa.
And
so
that's crazy.
And I think season five is going, I mean, I don't know. I can't speak on their behalf. I'm not sure. in charge of that. I don't know. But from what I hear, I'm like, wow.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, exactly.
You better like, not.
I'm in trouble with my friends. Yeah. But no, it's like, I love that. They are so, first of all, they're so unapologetically queer.
Yes.
In so many different ways. And it's like, but I also felt like this last season, like Alia Shawkat and Cola Scola.
Fuck.
And like John Early and like, you know, and you had, and then, oh yeah, Susan Sarandon doing the best work of maybe of her career. I genuinely think that.
Yeah, she was,
you know,
fantastic.
She was incredible. And you had Ann Dowd. It was like, sure, let's get them. Let's get that. And you're just, it was just. You know, it was a very, it was, it's a very special show. So I was very grateful to have been a part of it.
That's so great.
I love that. Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to take our final break and then we're going to get into the juicy details for our final segment. Woo! Be right back.
We'll be right back. And we're back.
It's time for the segment we like to call.
Yeah, you got barely half a sip in. Fuck talk.
Now, we have some amazing voicemails we want to share with you.
Ooh.
And then you can give us your opinion.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Okay. So, obviously, we have a phone number that we put out into the world, and people call in to leave us some
voicemails. It used to be just for fuck talks, but now it's like they can ask for opinions or they can just tell us something that they need us to know.
Okay, yeah. Great.
So these aren't all fuck talks.
Hey, Big Dipper, Meatball. This has been eating away at my conscience for like 2 weeks now, but I was in the library on campus. Hi, I go to college. I'm on campus. All right,
so you're better than me.
Yeah, and I was like just doing my work at my computer, and I was just messaging one of my friends online, and it got to the point where she was talking about like one of her sexual fantasies, and like I was talking to her about it too, and like the back and forth, and then it got like a little bit personal, and then I got like really, really horny. But I want you to know that like it was almost like a throbbing, painful horny. I have a vagina. I just want you to know that like it sometimes like you get so horny, it fucking throbs, and it got
to the point where I
got up. So what I did is like I looked around me and nobody was in the library at all. Nobody was in the library. I got up. There was like a slight wet spot on my feet. I'm like, this is absolutely disgusting. And then I got up and then I went to the bathroom and I rubbed one out three times and I came. And what's embarrassing about it is it's probably one of the most intense orgasms I've ever had in my entire life. And I'm 19. That's just,
You got a lot more coming.
Yeah.
Nobody was in the bathroom. If somebody would have walked in, I would have stopped. But the thing is, I've never done that before. And then 2 days later, I did the same thing. And now, like, I don't want to be known as, like, the serial bathroom masturbator on campus. Because, like, I'm scared, like, I'm scared somebody will walk in and, like, I don't know, they'll hear, like, macaroni noises from the stall. Am I macaroni noises? Like, is what I'm doing bad? Like, I wait till nobody's there. Like, I need, like, some serious advice on this. Yeah, anyway, bye!
Let's unpack it! Drew, what do you think?
My advice is, first of all, go for it. Enjoy those great orgasms.
Yeah.
When they happen, just be proud that your body let you feel that and go through all of that.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling is like, I don't know. I'm obviously not Dr. Sue Johansson, but remember her?
Yeah, can you play her?
I have actually. Of course. And I don't know why that's gross. I set that up. Like, no, here's my thing. I say you'll get over it. Like, do it a couple more times, and then it will lose its luster, and then you'll start masturbating other places. And, like, it's, yeah, no one else is in there. If that's where you get off and that's where you have enjoy that you found the pleasure, and who cares? I mean, oh, because other things or people are doing in the bathroom are so lovely and wonderful and sensible. Yeah. Like, it's another function of your body. So I think there's no shame in what
you're doing. And you're waiting for everyone to leave. It's not like you're doing it as an invitation for more people to come. But if you want to, that's fine too.
Yeah, right. I feel like what you do in the stall is like whatever, right? There's no like rule against what you can do by yourself in that stall, as long as you're not like showing off to people who don't want to see what you're doing.
Right, right.
Yes.
How loud are the macaroni noises?
The macaroni noise.
Wow.
I guess I would also say
she did say she was so wet she was making the seat wet. So
well, that's what I
there's
wanted
a lot
to
of
say.
Moisture going on.
If you do and then you get up and you leave, maybe just keep with you some sort of paper towel or just something so that someone doesn't unknowingly sit down in your juices.
In your wet.
That would be my only in your wet wet.
In your wet wet.
In your wet way. But I would say go off. A throbbing vagina at 19 that make you come real fast in the bathroom off some macaroni, that is an amazing space to be at in your life.
I'm proud of you.
Yes.
Okay. Here's another one.
Redoing my last voicemail, but hi, Big Dipper and Meatball. Oh. Again, I just came from a cruising experience. It was one of my first times ever doing it. I went to a park near me, went down a trail, saw some guys, but my question is just, what is like cruising etiquette, I guess? I really didn't know what I was doing. I just kind of went towards people in trees and like kind of just like looked around, and I sensed that was the vibe, but I also wasn't quite sure. Like I said, I did get my dick sucked, which is nice, but I don't know. I feel like it could have been better. So any advice would be helpful. Thank you. Bye, poppies.
Drew, you ever cruise?
I never have. I'm going to be quite honest. I've never done it. I think it's so hot. I totally endorse it. I think it's great. I've never done it myself. I'm just too puritanical in that way. I'm just nervous that I'd run into someone that I know, or to someone that was like, "Do you do those videos on YouTube in 2012?" Like, I don't know. Like, I just feel so like, but.
You're like on a quiet trail and someone walks past you and just goes, "Love your Chloe."
Yeah, I mean,
I'm sure that happens to you all the time.
It happens on the apps in a weird way. And I'm like, I don't mind that, but then immediately we're not sexy.
Right.
It's like, I don't care. But at the same time, I try to not go to that place because it's like, I don't feel at all sexual once we're talking about, you know, my wigs.
Right.
For me. Yeah. That's just my thing.
And then they come over and they want to try them on.
Well, yes, exactly. And then we're that's off limits, and then you know, whatever. Dicks are not getting sucked that night. So I don't know. I guess this question was like, could it have been better?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, it sounds like you did everything right. You just
you got maybe, your dick sucked. The amount of times you go cruising and you don't
and
get
nothing
any
happens.
Actions.
Exactly.
So maybe just next time you kind of know the vibe and you'll be a little bit more comfortable. It just sounds like you were nervous. So you'll have more confidence.
Yeah, some etiquette that feels appropriate to me is like, to me, it's not really a talking scenario. I have been, you know, down a path or around a corner or in an area, and then all of a sudden someone's going, "Yeah, blah, blah, blah." And you're like, that makes it feel like those people are not there for that. It's like a whispered tone. Like, obviously, you could, like, talk to the person, but sort of like,
"What are you looking to get done?
What
are you looking to get did?
To get you, done? Who do you say that to?
I don't
what
know. I just I don't know. I've never done, done it. I'm you, just assuming that these are the conversations. Do you want to get your?
Are you
do you want to get your hair
just
trimmed?
Just keep it tight on the sides and then leave it long on top.
Yeah.
You're looking for chunky highlights. What are you looking to get?
Well, okay, so I guess I don't know either. What do you say? You want your dick sucked?
No, I don't do anything. Dick? Mine is.
I don't either. When I'm. I don't, I'm not, I, as the most verbal person in life, when I'm in sexy times, I'm not verbal at all. And I have
correct.
A weird way of, like expressing what I want. Sometimes, and I just recently was like, "What do you want to do?" And I'm like, "Let's just do it. I don't want to talk about it." I mean, I'll tell you if I don't like it or we'll be on top or Or I'll go more here, there, that, but I don't really want to be like, here's a list of things that I want, you know, because then I just feel like we're not, it's not.
Yeah. To me, that cruise, it's eyes, it's like nods, it's eyes, and then the person, you know, it's like if they grab their dick, then I'm like, great, then I can suck their dick. Or if I, what I'll do is eyes, like a little, like a nod hello, and then I will look at their dick very aggressively, like a stare to show that I want to go to there. You know what I mean? Like that. Right. I think it can all happen in a nonverbal way, but I think if it does get verbal, it needs to be, you know, quiet. Low hushed tones, especially if you're outside at a park, because you don't want to blow up the spot.
Right.
All right. Here is one more that we've got. Meatball, which one? Should I do the one about the messy or the one about the patronizing?
Do messy.
Okay.
Hey, Big Dipper and Meatball. So I just got done hooking up with this guy. So normally I actually travel. I hate hosting because I don't like having to clean up afterwards and before. I don't know. I just usually prefer traveling. But this one time I hosted and the guy came over and I started fucking him. And then, so I noticed as I was fucking him, like some stuff was starting to come out a little and it started getting a little stinky. And I was like, well, I don't want to say anything because I don't want to embarrass him. So I kept going. I was like, okay, this isn't too bad. And as I kept going, like, all in one go, a lot came out and it kind of got everywhere. And I got all over my mattress. And right now I'm actually, like, outside throwing out my mattress. And I'm kind of bummed. But I just want y'all's advice on, like, how to tell a guy, like, hey, your shit is coming out of you, but I don't want to embarrass him. But I kind of regret not saying anything in the moment. All right, thanks. Bye.
Oh, we got that wicked rip. A couple things right off the top.
Throwing out the mattress?
Do you not have a mattress pad that you put on, like, you know, like under the sheets? Yeah, yes. That's like, not. It doesn't have to be waterproof, but it's like a thick cotton so that nothing can get through. Unless this person was literally gushing, like Niagara Falls. Like, unless it was soaking the doo-doo browns. And then two, lay down a towel.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like that's something that everyone does so you don't get lube on the sheets.
Yeah.
But I guess he doesn't host very often, so he doesn't know the rules of engagement.
Yeah, that's part of hosting is like you gotta pre-plan, you gotta pre-game a little bit.
Yeah, have a little lube ready, have a towel ready.
In your best interest, I mean, in your best intentions of like not embarrassing the guy, like overall. It got a lot worse. So communication is key.
Yes.
And you can certainly be like, you know, I get it when you're in it's, you know, you're in the middle of it. And you don't want to stop because you're like, oh no. But sometimes you have to stop. And sometimes you have to be like, you know, we got a little bit. And what's also weird to me is like, there are two people there. Like, can he not smell? And he may not feel what's all happening back there.
Maybe he had COVID and he lost his taste and smell.
Oh, that's okay. So yeah. Okay.
No, but I think, you know, here are things that I have said before, like, maybe you should, I think you should, try to do another cleanup or maybe, like let's take a break and you can go in the shower for a little bit
or it to the shower.
Right. But I think if you feel a little bit, if you're like, whoa, there might be something coming. I feel like the person bottoming will be more appreciative if they could scurry into the bathroom and like clean up themselves rather than have the shit the bed moment.
Because
that's actually less embarrassing in the long haul.
Because they're going to they didn't have to climb off the bed and they saw what happened on that mattress.
Right.
So they're not just going to be like, who knows who did that? Bye. You know, I'm
are you
Sean,
sure it wasn't you? Don't you shit out of your dick?
Oh my God.
So that's more embarrassing for them. So I would just say like communication's really important throughout the entire thing. You know, it's part of like having like really good sexes and it is just, you gotta be willing to go, hey, cause we all have these human bodies that do these things. And that's, there's no, and it's like, we all
And you shouldn't
it.
Shame the person either.
No. It's there's the ability to just, you know, say like, that's, you know. So yeah, and then also he was so, I gotta say, his delivery was so casual about throwing out a mattress.
I'm actually outside right now throwing out my mattress.
Yeah, I was, and like, if you want to, if you need a
thrown away,
yeah,
like, that's also they're heavy. They're like hard to.
That's a lot. First of all, yes, it's a heavy thing. It's an expensive thing, and then. Where are you sleeping tonight? Because it's going to take a couple
the
days
sofa?
To get
yeah.
bed.
Hopefully he ordered it from helix.com using the code SLOPPY for 10 to 15%.
Up to $200, up to $200 off your first purchase. And
wait,
two free pillows.
Are we doing a commercial right now?
No, absolutely
no,
not.
We are.
Why
you are.
We?
We are.
Oh, well, could I get in on that? Cause
no, because then you'll get your cut. No.
I need a mattress. I
speaking of not embarrassing people... I do want to say, Meepaw, are you sure you didn't fart on that episode of the podcast?
Everyone's asking if I farted at 9:01 of the episode that we did last week. I don't think it was a fart. I feel like I would have remembered.
We'll do this. Will be the last sound item we'll play, and then we're gonna wrap things up.
You gonna play what you think is a fart? I think I just
I
went,
took like 10 years of work, of work indeed, because I moved to Chicago.
Did you hear that?
It does sound a little bit like
it
a fart.
Sounds like you farted and then you exhale. You do that thing. You know
no, but
you
I think I went.
No, I think you went fart.
Okay, play it again. Play
one
it again.
More time, one
also,
more
this
time.
Mic wouldn't pick up a fart. Play it again.
That took like 10 years of
work,
of work indeed. Because I moved to Chicago.
Maybe I did.
You anything know to say about the fart?
What a beautiful release on both ends.
Why wouldn't Will take that out? He takes out every other mouth noise I make.
Well, that one didn't come from your mouth.
That noise.
Drew, well, thank you so
thank
much
you so
for
much
being
for
with
being
us
here.
Today on the show.
For having me. This was
this
so
was
much
so
fun.
Yeah, look how much better we got at hosting. Huh?
Y'all were great before. I don't remember it being, you know, I don't remember it being problematic in the least.
Well,
I don't remember it.
I don't either. I don't remember
I was
it either.
Drunk.
How does Chloe say Halloween?
Halloween.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Halloween. There's Marlon Wayans, Dwayne Wayans, and Halloween.
Yeah, Keenan Ivory Wayans. The best
Wayans. Yes, Kim Wayans, of
Kim
course.
Wayans. Hands down, the best Wayans.
Yes. Okay,
Shantae
cool.
Shantae Wayans, I love her too. All right,
good. Let's wrap
where
it up, Meepaw.
Where can everyone find you on the internet?
Oh, I'm on the Twitter at Drew Drogi. I'm on Instagram, Drew_Drogi. You know,
great. Drogi is spelled Droege, right?
That's it.
All right. Thanks, everyone, so much for listening to Sloppy Seconds. You can follow us on Instagram at Sloppy Pods and send us an email at sloppysecondspod@gmail.com or call in with a fucked up story to 213-536-9180. You can follow us on Instagram at Big Dirt Brigellian Spiciest Meatball or Fat Drag Meatball on Twitter. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't ever miss an episode, which come out every Tuesday and Friday. Goodbye.
Go watch Lawrence of Arabia.
Doodle doo doo forever dog. To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Music, editing, and sound design by William Pitt.
Executive produced by Will and Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Joe Cilio, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.